I brought a lesson, Knowing Where You're Going, and that was the one where we sang while we also went through that lesson. But we talked about how you are such great value to God. We talked about how you have a purpose and that there is a direction and that there is eternal life that we aim towards. And then I brought a lesson about letting go of the past. So that was aiming towards the future, and then this was letting go of the past. We have to let the past is the past, and that's important for us to recognize. We have to forget the things of the past. We have to let the past motivate us. We talked about that. We reach forward, as Paul says, and we understand that every day, every morning, God's compassions and mercies are renewed. And so we talked about those things. And so as I was thinking about lessons, I was like, well, we talked about the future. We talked about the past, looking forward, letting go of the past. And I thought, well, we need to talk about today. You remember when we studied in the book of Ecclesiastes, that was one thing that I saw very clear as we went through those chapters, and that is that the writer of Ecclesiastes, Solomon, was very much trying to tell us, concentrate and live today. Concentrate and do your very best today. So as I was thinking about that, we have to know where we are going, and we need to know our past, but we need to know where we are today. We need to know who we are today. There's something to be said about optimism. I often will say, well, I'm not optimistic, and Lisa might argue whether or not I'm pessimist, but I often like to say, like my father did, that I'm more of a realist. Well, there was a young boy who came home with terrible grades on his report card, and his parents asked him, what do you have to say about this, son? And he responded, well, you can be proud of me because you know I'm not cheating. Well, that's putting a positive spin on a terrible situation and not recognizing there's humor there. But, you know, he didn't realize, he wasn't acknowledging where he stood academically. And sometimes that's what we can do is we don't really understand where we are today. We'll put a positive spin on it. So we'll talk about some of those things. And it's true that the same thing can happen to us as Christians. We can just put a positive spin on our failures. We may even deny that we've done anything wrong, or we may, in what our relationship with God, we're not being truthful about that. And that can happen within a congregation, that can happen within a physical family, and most assuredly, again, with our relationship with God. We can, you know, just simply not deal with where we are. And so there's some things we want to talk about. We have to know where we are spiritually today. We all know that there's always room for growth. So, you know, as I was thinking about, well, you don't ever want to sit and go, well, I'm just doing great today, because there's always room for growth. So the first passage I'd like for us to turn to is to just make that point. It's found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. At the end of the chapter in verse 12, and we're going to read into the very first part of chapter 4, but 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 12, Paul said, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Finally, brethren, we urge and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God. So while he encourages them and he's talking to them, he says you need to do more and more. And so we all understand that when we look at our life today, we need to understand that there's always a need to conform our image to Christ, to mature as a Christian. But we need to not just understand that. We need, I guess what I'm trying to say by making that point is that, yes, all of us are going to say, I need to improve. But I want us to think about the things where we look at ourselves and we see, but where am I really today? To be able to know where what I need to be doing. So as I was thinking about that, I thought of a couple of examples to look at. In some that failed to see and know where they were spiritually in the moment, in the day. And I thought of King David. We all know the horrible sin that David committed when he had Uriah killed after having committed adultery with his wife. We understand that story. Turn over to 2 Samuel chapter 12. I want to read how David was awakened to where he really stood. I don't know if David, we know that he did wrong, and we know that he tried to hide it, and we know that he must have perhaps settled down where he in fact thought he had gotten away with it, and he didn't see any consequences. Uriah's dead. Bathsheba is his wife, and she's pregnant, and maybe he's thinking that there's not going to be anything that happens. But let's begin reading in chapter 12, verse 1. The Lord sent Nathan to David. There were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, and the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished. And it grew up together with him and with his children. It ate at his own ate of his own food and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom, and it was like a daughter to him. And a traveler came to the rich man who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare for the wayfaring man who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. So David's anger was greatly aroused against the man, and he said to Nathan, "As the Lord lives, the man who has done this shall surely die, and he shall restore fourfold for that lamb because he did this thing and because he had no pity." Then Nathan said to David, "You are the man. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your keeping, and gave you the house of Israel and Judah. If that had been too little, I would have also given you much more. Why have you despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? You have killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword. You have taken his wife to be your wife and have killed him with the sword of the people of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from your house because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up adversity against you from your own house, and I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor, and he shall lie with your wives in the sight of this son." And that would be his son doing that. "And you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel, before the sun." So David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." Now I read that to get us to understand that he did not see himself where he was in the moment, spiritually sick. And so God sent Nathan the prophet to wake him up. You and I have to know where we stand spiritually before the Lord. We can't pretend everything is right. We cannot be as the little boy and put a positive spin on our poor behavior. We have to be aware of where we stand today. And so while you do let go of the past and while you reach to the future, you have to know where you are, because that's where you're engaged in the present. And that's why we say you have to be faithful today. And there are two things that we simply do not know, and that is the day we're going to die and the day the Lord will return. So you have to live today in faithfulness. This is the day that you live in. And a failure to recognize who you are can put you in grave danger for throughout eternity. I also thought of one who failed to know where they were. Only we've been looking at congregations. And so let's look at the congregation of Laodicea. Let's turn over to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. One of the letters that was written to the seven churches, in fact, the last one was written to the church in the city of Laodicea. So sometimes we have to look at ourselves, and we're going to mention Corinth in just a moment, but you know, a congregation. As we looked at looking forward and so forth, we also have been looking at times this vantage from a local congregation. Well, look at this local congregation. They did not see themselves as they truly were. Look at verse 14 of chapter 3. "And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say I am rich, have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked." I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. For as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. So here's a congregation. They thought they were doing great. They thought, well, we're rich, we're wealthy, we don't have need of anything. And he said, no, spiritually, you don't see who you are at all. You are miserable and wretched and poor and blind and naked. And he says, you need to buy from me the things that you need to correct those problems. How do you get to the point where you do not truly understand where you stand before the Lord? How do you get to that? Well, we're going to answer that question in just a moment. How do you get to this point where you don't know where you're truly standing with God? So that's going to be the lesson that we will develop. So I also want to mention before we do that, the church at Corinth, which we're currently studying. Think about them. Did they understand where they were spiritually? Apparently not. They were puffed up. They didn't see their spiritual condition and the fact that they have this horrible situation amongst the congregation that they're not dealing with at all. And then we're going to see other things that unfold as we go through the book. In fact, he's already pointed out that they are blind to the realities, that there is strife and division among them, and they're tolerating sin. And so they've got things that they need to correct. And yet, did they see themselves that way? Apparently not, because they were defending who they were. And so we can fail to see where we are today. So what do I need to do to know where I am today? Well, the first thing that I thought of is I have to be honest. Now, this is a lesson that, again, is dealing with you as an individual. You have to be honest, and you cannot be deceived about who you are and where you are spiritually. We can be dishonest about that. We can be deceived about that. But how do you get to the point where you do not know where you truly stand before the Lord? Well, maybe we're not honest about who we are, and we deceive ourselves into believing we're someone we are not. And is that something that we can do? Of course we can do that. We would call that self-deception, not being honest with ourselves. And so we have to be honest about this. If I can't be honest with myself, if I cannot be honest with myself, that's a big problem. If I can't look in the mirror and really see who I am, I've got serious problems. I've got a conscience problems that maybe I'm not even bothered by my behavior anymore. Now, also, while I'm going to look at this often at the negative, we also need to be able to see the good things that we're doing, be encouraged by them, continue in them, let those things grow, shun the evil and do that which is good. But we have to be honest about where we are. So you think about how you have to look and say, well, am I a hothead? Well, it doesn't do any good to lie about to yourself about that. Not when you're out here reflecting it all over the shoals area, you see. Maybe I need to clean up things in my life, but I'm not being honest about that. If I'm going to know who I am today, then I'm going to have to look and be honest. Because I don't want to fool myself into believing I'm someone I'm not. And so this goes to, do you profess to be a Christian? That word means a follower of Christ. I am a follower of Christ. I am striving to be like Him. And being a Christian means I will follow Him. Well, do I follow Christ? That's a good question to ask. Ask that question honestly. Ask the question, am I pretending? Do I see myself as somebody that I truly am not? Well, again, that means I've been deceived. Look at James chapter 1. James makes this point, and James is such a practical epistle that is written that has just a lot of... He'll develop things a little fuller as the chapters go on. But one of the things he talks about is the tongue and the reality of controlling it. And he'll develop that in chapter 3. But look at what he says in chapter 1 and verse 26. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. You see the point that we're making? This person looks at themselves and says, I'm a religious person. And he says, yeah, but you're not bridling your tongue. And what it means is that you don't do that. He says, your religion is useless. I pretend to be someone I'm not. Oh, I'm a religious person, but I don't have self-control. Well, again, am I going to be honest about this? We saw in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18 that I can, in fact, deceive myself. I can deceive myself. And so I can think of some things to reflect on as we're being honest. Am I praying as I should, or am I not? Well, that's a question to ask. And a lot of us would say, oh, I could be praying more. Yes, that's the growth part. But we may not really be praying at all. We have to be honest about that. I don't want to fool myself about that. In my attendance, is it not as it should be? Now, I have to be honest about that. I can't lie about that. I have to be honest about that. What about in my giving? What about we've taken up the collection this morning. We've given as we have prospered. What if, is it as it should be? Well, that's a question we each have to ask. And I have to be honest about that. Can I deceive myself? I can come up with all kinds of reasons. Or am I going to look and say, you know what? I need to do better about that. If my time is not being spent wisely, then I have to admit that. I have to correct that. I have to admit that and correct that. And here's the other thing is what we tend to do. I'll start tomorrow. We've procrastinated. No, we knew this. We do this today. We know where we are today. We look and we say, well, I do need, you know, he's preaching, but I do need to be better and do better in those situations. Well, start today. Start today. Set the goal of being better today and carry it into tomorrow. Carry it into tomorrow. And then, of course, when you think about this being honest, I have to examine myself to know where I am. And again, you and I need to be willing to take a good, hard look. We would, you know, self-discovery, someone might say, to see where we truly are. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and in verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, said, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? Self-examination. Self-examination. How important is that? Well, if you read that again, whether you are in the faith, is it possible that you look and you realize, you know, I've departed from the faith? Is it possible to see that your faith is waning? Maybe you have doubt and therefore you're unstable and so you need to increase your faith. You see, there's to not be honest about that is to not be the kind of person that you need to be. And your own self-examination determines your eternal destination. It's dependent upon, and that word examine, when I looked at it, it's scrutinizing. It's scrutinizing. It's like the military when you're supposed to have your bunks clean and they come along with the white glove and they're checking everything to make, what's the old illustration? They talk about bouncing a quarter. I don't know about any of that stuff, but everything's got to be just right, the shoes and everything. Scrutinizing. I mean, they're going to look at everything. It's like your mother-in-law comes in and she wipes her hand along the top of the door frame, you know, and she's like, oh, this house is filthy. Scrutinizing. He's saying you need to examine yourself. Examine yourself. Now, preaching, like I'm doing this morning, is something that's done to aid and to help, you know, to present the word. But, you know, You have to take what's said. You have to take the Word of God. You have to look into it. You have to make the corrections. But it does no good to be dishonest about it. And you have to do it. I know what I'm thinking. I know what I'm saying. And I know what I'm thinking about doing. I know that. You don't know that. You know yourself. Self-examination. Is my life matching up with the will of God? It's an important question to ask. That's examining myself. How's your faith? Well, I have to examine myself. Test yourself, Paul says. Is my faith strong? Is my faith strong? Is it passing the test? And be honest about it. It does no good to lie. Now, I want to put up our scripture reading again that Steve read. I really like this because think about this, examining yourself. I thought about my ways. What are you doing there? I'm thinking about who I am. I'm thinking about the person that I am. I'm thinking about the Christian part of me. How am I living as a Christian? And turned my feet to your testimonies. I thought about my ways and I looked into the testimonies of God. What are you going to do when you do that? You're going to look at what God says and you're going to look and say, I'm doing that. I'm not doing that. I'm doing that okay, but I need to do better. I'm doing this really well. Let's concentrate on something else. Don't forget the other, but let's bolster and build this part up of my character. And that's true. You know, what we tend to do is just kind of coast along. Coast along. You can make all kinds of applications. Those of you that are men and the participation in the services, do you grow in that? Do you try to get better in your prayer publicly, or maybe the song leading, or maybe thoughts around the table? Appreciated your thoughts. You can't ever go wrong reading scriptures, especially when you read about the crucifixion. But are we pushing ourselves? Are we looking and saying, you know, I just kind of grabbed it and just went with it, or I didn't even know. I didn't even know till I showed up. You see what I'm saying? There's things that we do that we have to be honest about. I have to give thought to my ways. Because we have to know where we are. Because if you don't know where you are, how are you going to improve? If you don't know where you are, how are you going to make corrections? And so I have to reflect. I have to think about my ways. How am I going to be steadfast in my service if I don't know that I'm faltering? I'm kind of in and I'm kind of out. I mean, can I look at my life and when I think, you know, it's like I'm up and I'm down and up and I'm down and up and I'm down. Where am I at? Am I maturing? Is it this? Or is it just all over the place? Well, we have to be honest and answer that question. But I have to examine myself to know where I'm at. One other passage is in Psalm 19, in verse 7, the latter part. You know this. The testimonies of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. God's truth, His testimonies are wise. Are sure, making wise the simple. And so look into the Word of God, know that it is sure, and build your life and examine and look and reflect. I'm thinking of Psalm 139, too, where David in that psalm says, God, you know where I'm at. You know everywhere. You know it doesn't matter where I am. You know where I am. And by the end of the chapter, he says, I want you to take a look. I want you to search me. I want you to help me. Know where I'm at. Know my improvement. Know what I need to do. Paul told Timothy that he needed to study and to learn and to build and grow so that everybody else would see it. His growth. That's very important. Not for show, but that my life is getting better and better. And then I thought of this point, and that is that we need to take aim in our desire to please God. So I need to be honest and I need to examine myself, and where I need to aim is in my desire to please God. Why would I reflect? Why would I be honest? Because I want and my desire is to please God. If I don't have a desire to please God, then everything that I'm saying is of no value to you. It's of no value to me. If I'm thinking about my life, if I really have no desire to please God, then why would I correct anything? I won't have a desire to correct anything. Paul told the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 9. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. Every day, desiring to be pleasing to God. So, you remember when we talked about going towards the future, reaching, knowing where we're going? Did you notice the word that he used? He said, your aim. This was back in therefore we make it our aim. What is my goal today? Today, my aim is to please God. Of course, on the first day of the week, but come Monday, you know, it's a new day, different day. We'll regroup and come back on Wednesday night. No, my aim, whether present or absent, is to be pleasing to Him, to the Lord. So think about living in the moment, living today, watching my footsteps now. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 12, and in verse 28, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. So today, I serve God. My aim is to serve Him and please Him with reverence and godly fear, respecting Him for who He is. You know, if you think about putting all that together, so I let go of the past because I need to make sure that we talked about all those things, but here I am in the moment. I know where I'm going, so today is the day to always be looking and being honest with myself to know who I am and then where am I going and what am I trying to do today. And that carries over into every aspect of your life. When you go to the grocery store, oh, that's a dog-eat-dog world, you know, each man for his own. So you push and you steal and you bunt, you know. We don't have a whole lot around here, but, you know, you just, you know, whatever it takes. You just become a different person. I remember a preacher saying, I'm headed into the beltway traffic around D.C., and you had to get ready because that was going to be a jungle. And so what about at work? That's a four-letter word on a Sunday. That's usually Sunday night. That's when that starts setting in and start thinking, I go back to work. What's your aim tomorrow, which will be today? Work. To please God. The Bible talks about when you work. Work as though you're working in the Lord. Be happy about that. The little article I wrote on the front of the bulletin is counting your blessings. And one of the points I mentioned, I said laboring. And I thought, how do you capture your job? I said, well, you realize I'm blessed to go to work, and it's how I heat my home. It's how we provide food, clothing for the family, and all these things. And so we're happy about that. We know what our aim is. There's just a lot of people that don't have any of this because they have no self-reflection. They don't have the Word of God to guide them and direct them. And so we need to make sure that today, I want to please God. So knowing where you are, because today is the day of salvation. We don't know if the Lord's going to come today, and I don't know if I'm just going to drop over dead, which we know happens. One of the members of the church back in Michigan, he was about my age. We might have been about the same age, and then all of a sudden they said he died. And I said, why did he die? And it's like, still haven't got a, just I don't know if he was sick or he kept it to himself or what, but he just passed away. Those things happen. It's too real to not recognize. So we don't live in the past, and we don't, you know, the future is yet. So what more can you do but live in the moment of today and do the very, very best that you can? But what that is I've got to see myself who I am. And when I do that which is wrong, which all of us can look back and say, you know, in the moment I just lost it. I didn't treat that person well. Well, you ask their forgiveness and you move forward. In the moment, you keep pressing on. You keep doing things to please God. And God is pleased when we acknowledge our sins, and unlike David who tried to hide them and had to be called out on it. We need to be thinking about our ways and let our aim be that which is to please God. Brother Bowman is known for saying, if you miss heaven, you miss all there is. And that is a true statement. If you miss heaven, you've missed all there is. It's not about this life. It's about pleasing God and spending eternity with Him in a place that is undescribable. And that is, nothing is to be compared here on the earth to what lies ahead. I don't fully understand that, but I know God and I can trust Him. So don't put off salvation from sin another day. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, do not put off salvation. Be saved today, because we're not promised tomorrow. Maybe you're a child of God and your life is not as it should be. Maybe you're not living in their sin. We've talked about that in our Bible class. We've talked about it now. You know, I'm looking in the mirror and I'm seeing and I'm examining. I'm like, I'm not right. Today is the day to make it right. Today is the day to be pleasing to God. If we can help anyone at this time, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.